Okay, so in this video, we're going to be looking into how we learn. How we learn who it is that we actually are, or who it is that we learn who to believe that we are, or who we think that we are. Now, I figured that the best way I could illustrate this point would be to tell you another story. I'm going to tell you a story. Have you ever been to the circus? Have you? I can remember getting taken to the circus as a young boy. Now, the clowns I always hated. The trapeze artists were okay, but I was always fascinated by the elephants. These big lumbersome animals that were just absolutely huge. The strength and the weight that these animals possessed, that had the capacity to literally tear down the tent and trample, you know, how many tens or hundreds of people to death in the process. But they didn't, did they?
You see, from a very, very young age, we begin to learn about who we are. And we begin to learn about who we are based upon our relational experiences with mum and dad and brothers and sisters and all this kind of thing. And if dad doesn't give us as much time as we would like, we learn to believe that we're little value or a lot of value, or we're significant, we're whatever. If we have, you know, loving parents, they give us time and affection and love and care and all these sorts of things, we feel secure. But you see, not everyone gets that, which means that we all have different levels of feelings of security, significance, and self-worth. And you see, there's a process for our learning, and I'm going to try and model this. I'm trying to describe this right now. Has anyone ever been to the circus? Who's ever been to the circus? Okay, who likes the clowns? No one. Okay, does anyone like the trapeze artists? You like the trapeze artists? Okay, I never watched them because there's no way I could ever do what these guys do. But maybe that's just negative thinking or something, who knows. Okay, has anyone ever seen the elephants? The elephants. Okay, right, have you ever wondered why it is in a circus why an elephant as large as what it is would just sit there, chained, pegged to spike in the middle of the arena? Now this is a big mammal, right? It's a huge, huge creature. I always kind of found myself wondering, you know, the size of these mammals, the size of these beasts, why it was that one metal peg or a spike on the ground with a bit of rope tied around it and around the elephant's neck could hold it in place. I couldn't quite get my head around this, because these animals, these elephants, are absolutely huge beasts, are they not? Yes, they are. Okay, so why is it then that an elephant would allow itself to be held pegged to the floor in the midst of a circus arena by a bit of rope and a spike and a peg? Because it does actually have the strength just to rip this peg out of the ground if it so chose. And it could probably just pull the entire circus tent to the ground as well, whilst trampling a few onlookers to death if it so wished. But you see, what kind of happens is elephants, you see, these circus owners will go to different various parts of the world and they will purchase baby elephants. It's probably on the black market or wherever they purchase these elephants from. And from a very, very young age, they'll tie these baby elephants to a spike or a peg or a bit of wood hammered into the ground. And what they'll do is they'll tie a bit of rope or a noose or chains, or they'll put chains around the elephant's neck. And you see, the bit little baby elephant, he wants to break free and he fights and he struggles and he wrestles and he kicks and all these sorts of things, but he's not strong enough to break free. So you see, the process over a couple of years, a number of years, it grows to believe that it's not strong enough to break free from the peg. And the truth of the matter is, at such a young age, it's actually not. It really isn't strong enough. It's too young and it's too weak. But this is kind of how beliefs are formed. And these beliefs, once formed, kind of like identity glue, it clings to. So as it becomes a fully grown, fully fledged adult elephant, it believes that it's actually never going to be strong enough to break free from the peg. So if beliefs are formed in elephants that way, I wonder how many beliefs we have formed that way about who we believe that we are. Probably one or two, eh? So,
as I mentioned in the last video, or one of the last videos, you know, in life, we do think that the greatest prisons are the ones made by reinforced concrete and cast iron bars and, you know, toughened glass and those sorts of things. But they're really not, because the greatest prisons that keep us enslaved as human beings, the prisons of our own mind, the smallness of our own thinking, we develop beliefs about who we are as children. And unless we learn to identify these beliefs and track them back, trace them back to where they began, we can actually end up living out our fully grown adult lives with the same limitations, believing that we have the same limitations as what we had as children. And this just isn't the case. You see, children think as children think. Maturing as adults is about leaving our old childish beliefs and thought patterns behind. And this is where personal development comes in, where we grow to learn who it is that we actually are, what it is that we're capable of, and identifying the limiting beliefs that we've had in the past, the stories we've told ourselves about who it is that we are, and moving forward, building our lives on the truth of who it is that we actually are, not on the old beliefs and thoughts about who we were back then. Because who you were back then, in terms of character, yes, you're the same person, but you are stronger now. You've learned more stuff. You're able to do more things. So just because you weren't able to do some certain things as a child doesn't mean you're not able to do these things or more moving forward into your future. But we're going to talk about this more in the next video. See you next time.